Coming up on Tech News Today, why Yahoo won't screw up Tumblr, Google Hangout deleted Google Voice, and what Microsoft will announce on Tuesday. All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, May 20th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use promo code TNT. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use offer code TNT5. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we keep you up to date on the most important stories in the tech world, starting each time with the top 10 stories of the day in the news feed. As expected, Yahoo announced the acquisition of Tumblr for 1.1 Instagrams, or $1.1 billion in cash. Founder David Karp will stay on as CEO of Tumblr. Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer promised not to screw up Tumblr, her words, which will continue to operate independently. Mayer also said Yahoo will benefit from Tumblr feeding content to Yahoo products like the news feed, and Tumblr will receive better ad sales support from Yahoo.
Finnish startup Yola has finally revealed details about its first phone. The phone runs on the Sailfish OS version of Mego and features a 4.5-inch display and a removable shell for the back half that can be linked to new desktop images and ringtones. The phone will sell for about 399 euros or about 513 US dollars on pre-order. Yola expects to ship the phone at year's end, starting in Europe.
The New York Times reports attacks attributed to state-sponsored hackers from China against the United States have begun to increase again. Attacks had subsided after security company Mandiant posted a report in February attributing many of the intrusions to Unit 61398 of the Chinese Army. People's Republic of China denies any involvement in the attacks.
Sony has posted a new video promoting its PlayStation 4 game console. The video shows kind of a blurry black box and extreme close-ups of ports and vents and ends with a plug of Sony's E3 announcement, which is happening on June 10th. So, gee, Tom, what could be happening tomorrow that would prompt Sony to want to reveal just a little bit more about the PS4 right now? I can't think of anything.
I have no idea. Well, I guess I'll just read the next news fuse item then.
Okay.
Microsoft announces the first Microsoft announcing the first details of its next generation game console tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, The Verge reports its sources say a new redesign of the Xbox 360 dashboard will arrive this summer in beta to roll out to all users in August. The redesign will change the theme to smaller tiles, similar to what is expected from Windows 8.1, eliminate the Microsoft points system, and prepare users for the next version of Microsoft's game console.
Pinterest has announced new pins for brands that makes it easier to click through for more information and to purchase items, among other things. Three types of pins have launched: for food, one for retail products, and one for movies. The new format will only work with items pinned from the launch partner sites, although they have a pretty good number off the bat, and the number of partners is expected to grow.
Barney Jones, a Google employee from 2004 until 2006, says he has material proof that Google's London sales staff handled sales despite claiming its Dublin headquarters finalized all deals. Jones will hand over a reported 100,000 emails and documents to the British Revenue and Customs Service. Google is being investigated for tax practices in the UK. Google first denied sales happened in London offices at all and then testified last week that some sales efforts were made in London, but all deals were closed in Ireland.
Google Hangouts functionality is great in that it unifies Google messaging, but if you enable it in Gmail, you lose the ability to set your availability status and the ability to place or receive Google voice calls from within Gmail. Some of you might not like that. You can revert to the old Gtalk for now if you want, until Hangouts does support calls. Google also updated its Google Plus app for Android, which added new photo and location features, as well as related hashtags to the stream.
18-year-old Isha Kare won one of two Young Scientist Awards at the Intel International Science and Engineering Fair in Phoenix this weekend for a device that can recharge a cell phone in 20 to 30 seconds. Kare developed a new kind of supercapacitor for the device, which she thinks could also speed up automobile charging. The award includes a $50,000 cash prize that Kare intends to use to help pay for her college tuition at Harvard this autumn.
The Society of Information Display Conference in Vancouver has lots of cool screens, including a 55-inch curved OLED screen and a flexible and unbreakable 5-inch screen for mobile devices. Those of you awaiting the roll-up screen, well, we're getting closer.
Hey, roll-up screen.
They're not breaking. Next, rolling.
Don't roll them up yet, people.
No.
This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere you are. You can share the same screen, see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. When your entire team can work together, it's going to make a big difference. That's why we use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It makes it easy for your entire team to get together online, look each other in the eye, see what the expressions are. You can tell if somebody's understanding or not a lot easier when you can see their face. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you share the same screen, you stay on the same page, and the built-in HD video conferencing makes your online meetings just like being in the same room. You just turn on your webcam, and it's simple to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer or your smartphone or your tablet. They even let you present from your iPad. We love GoToMeeting. We use it all the time. So try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code TNT. Remember, use that promo code TNT. And as you know, GoToMeeting with HD Faces not only lets you meet face-to-face with your team, no matter where they are in the world, but they want to know if you could have a meeting with anyone famous, living or not, using GoToMeeting with HD Faces, who would it be and why? If you haven't already, tweet your answer using the hashtag TNT Webcam and the hashtag GoToMeeting, GoToMeeting, for a chance to win a free high-def webcam courtesy of GoToMeeting. Remember, to be eligible to win, you need to tell us who you would have your face-to-face GoToMeeting with and why using hashtag TNT Webcam and hashtag GoToMeeting. Contest ends Thursday, May 30th. You got 10 days. 11:59 p.m. Pacific time is the end, and the winner will be announced on the Tuesday, June 4th episode of Tech News Today. Because of laws, contest is open only to U.S. residents. For contest rules and regulations, visit inside.twit.tv blog. And don't forget to try GoToMeeting free today. Joining us now to discuss the stories of the day, very happy to have Dan Patterson, reporter for Some All, back on the show. Good to have you, Dan.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys.
Thanks for joining us. We got a lot to talk about. Let's start by digging into that Yahoo Tumblr acquisition. Here's what one of the postings from Yahoo said. Per the agreement and our promise not to screw it up, Tumblr will be independently operated as a separate business. David Karp will remain CEO. The product, service, and brand will continue to be defined and developed separately with the same Tumblr irreverence, wit, and commitment to empower creators. Now, what this means in practice is that David Karp had an all-team meeting. That's what he calls an all-hands meeting at Tumblr, while Marissa Mayer was talking to the press. And she says, we're going to let Tumblr be Tumblr. So all the people getting really upset out there, going on to Tumblr, complaining, saying they're going to quit, Yahoo's going to ruin it. Yahoo's trying to calm them down. At the same time, Yahoo's hoping to get some of that Tumblr juice, both mobile, social, some content that they don't have, a lot of fashion content, cooking content, and juice up the Yahoo feeds, and hopefully they can help deliver some ad sales love to Tumblr. Tumblr made $13 million in revenue last year, but it lost money. Same time, they're hoping to make a lot more money this coming year. Dan, what do you think is going to be the upshot of all of this? Will Yahoo be able to not ruin Tumblr?
Well, look, from a business perspective, this is fantastic. It really shows that the billion-dollar acquisition of Facebook, of Instagram by Facebook last year, wasn't just in the tech community a one-off or a massive purchase. I think, you know, here in New York City, Tumblr is a large part of the tech community here, and it really helps validate a lot of the work that many people are doing right now. From a branding perspective, active Tumblr, why you know Yahoo 500 notes. I can understand why the users are upset, but this story, as many of us are familiar with, has kind of played itself out over time, over many different platforms, and it's really a matter of time whether we see if Yahoo kind of lets Tumblr be Tumblr, like you said, and, you know, continue to develop on its own, or whether Yahoo pulls a Flickr and, you know, kind of messes it up. It seems like they won't, and it seems like Tumblr has enough of an identity that they'll be able to kind of persist on their own. This also lets Tumblr not integrate advertising, something that has been deeply controversial, even inside of Tumblr itself. There were famous walk-offs from their advertising team last year, so this, again, lets Tumblr be Tumblr. Hopefully.
Although a lot of people don't care. They're not convinced. In fact, Matt Mullenweg from WordPress says imports from Tumblr to WordPress rose from 400 to 600 posts per hour to over 72,000 posts per hour. You'll see people say that 72,000 people, it's 72,000 posts. But still, it's a big jump. Sarah Lane, what do you think? What is your best bet about how this is all going to play out?
I think people jumping ship from Tumblr because Yahoo owns it, or it's a lot like people saying, well, I'm not using Instagram anymore because Facebook bought Instagram and now Instagram sucks. And the thing is that the properties aren't going to look any different. Even if Yahoo wanted to drastically change Tumblr and add advertising all over the place, they're not going to do that tomorrow because that is how you lose users and you get people to go, you know, find the next best thing. On my drive to work this morning, I'm listening to BBC Radio and, you know, they've got a man on the street, this guy, you know, asking, have you ever heard of a site called Tumblr? You know, you get half the people saying, yeah, I know what that is. And the other half saying, never heard of it. And it's like, you know, the thing with Tumblr is I feel like the story keeps getting spun as, well, this is Yahoo's way to get hip and cool again.
Right.
Tumblr did not start yesterday. I mean, I've been a Tumblr user for 6 years. It's a great property. I actually kind of like the fact that it hasn't changed a whole lot in that time. But this is not like the new hip thing. This is very much not like, ooh, let's buy this property because it's been around for 6 months and it's hot before it falls again. I think that Tumblr is a really, really strong brand. It has very loyal users, and that makes it attractive to Yahoo.
I do think Yahoo has a serious deficiency of animated GIFs that this will address.
And porn. Don't forget the porn.
And porn, yes. Obviously. I do think Tumblr has that reputation because the demographic is younger. Yahoo has a very old demographic. I think this says more about Yahoo's demographic than it does about Tumblr's hipness. And I look at this as Marissa Meyer saying, I want to change the culture of Yahoo. So I need somebody like David Karp around. I need to show
it is a good way for Yahoo to reduce the cost of acquisition per customer
from
a lot to not very much, I think is
excellent.
Is roughly what Dad was going to say. No, it changes the cost of acquisition, exactly, because instead of having to spend a ton of marketing changing people's mind about what Yahoo is, they get an audience that doesn't directly overlap with Yahoo's current audience, if I can guess where Dan was going with that comment. I think that's a really good point. Could Tumblr save Flickr? Marissa Meyer in her call made a couple of couple notes about how, oh, maybe Flickr will be a great storage area for Tumblr, et cetera, et cetera. Like maybe she tries to direct David Karp towards saving Flickr. That would be interesting.
But yeah, you're right. That would be interesting. Can't quite see it, but yeah.
Yeah, let's talk. I'm just throwing it out there. Google Hangouts, removing the ability to host Google Voice calls. Google says they're going to bring it back, but what's going on with that?
Oh, yeah. So as I mentioned, the news views, it's kind of just this weird sort of, you get these Gmail upgrades, right? Like, would you like to look at the new look for Gmail? And I always say, yeah, sure. It's probably going to be better than what it is currently. If you upgrade the Google Talk service within Gmail to Hangouts, and basically it says, would you like to try a new Hangouts option? You say yes. You lose a couple features. You lose the ability to set your availability status, like in a meeting or available, that sort of thing. But you also lose the ability to make or receive a Google Voice call from within Gmail. Some of you might say, I've never done that. Why does it matter? Well, it matters to a lot of people who have actually been using this service for quite a while. It removes the option to basically host a Google Voice call using your computer, you know, your PC, your laptop, that sort of thing. So the option at this point is to initiate a call from the Google Voice web app then it'll ring a connected phone if you've got that set up and then route the call to the other party. So there's kind of a workaround. And if you really hate the way that this works, you can revert back to the old Google Talk service in Gmail if you've already upgraded to Hangout. So there's sort of an undo button, I guess, if you're like, oh no, this changes everything that I do for work and my life is ruined. I wonder though, I mean, what's the change about anyway? I mean, we had Google I.O. last week, and I think a lot of us came out of I.O. thinking, well, you know, Google seems the team seem unified, and they're putting out products that make some of the different parts of Google make sense and feel more meshed. Dan, do you use Google Talk within Gmail? Is this something that seems odd?
Direct that to Tom, because Dan is still off. I'm still working on him.
Tom, I've changed my mind. I don't want Dan to tell me how he feels at all.
Forget you, Dan. Nikhil Singhal, and I have to give credit to one of our super Android fans out there, Vance, for pointing this out. On Google Plus, Nikhil Singhal, who works at Google, says that they are going to support Google Voice calls through Hangouts. They just don't do it yet. So this is kind of a fumbly way to do this.
Yeah.
But I think what's going on is they want to unify everything. So they want people to be able to use Google Hangouts for GTalk. Then they look at GTalk and say, how many people, we won't be able to do Google Voice in there right away. How many people use that? Not that many. It's a Google Reader calculus, right? They go, it's a very small percentage. So just don't worry about the fact that Google Voice won't be available in Hangout, but give people who want to use it an option to go back to GTalk. It's not perfect, but we will eventually roll Google Voice capability into Hangouts. And I guess he says in here too, you can still receive calls in GTalk if you're on the Hangout. It's just that you can't make calls yet. But it is, he says, designed to be the future of Google Voice.
Well, I understood it to be you couldn't place or receive calls in Gmail if you've upgraded.
I know that's what I originally saw too. But he says,
so this is less of an issue then. I mean, it's still an issue for people who are like, well, this was my workflow, and now I can't do this. That's not an upgrade at all. But it's half as bad.
Yeah, and if people don't think you can get inbound calls, then they'll probably I don't know. I guess it would just ring, but they'll probably go back to GTalk because they'll say, "Look, I don't want to give up this functionality." And honestly, it's not a very good experience to be like, "I can receive calls, but I can't make any." If you rely on this, but again, I don't think that many people rely on it. Do you?
No, I think it's more of a what does this mean for the future of Google than this feature that so many of us feel like we can't live without.
Yeah, and I do think it really is about Google pushing ahead with unification of all of the information exchange mechanisms to be in Hangout. So,
and just simple house cleaning, spring cleaning.
Yeah. Bump in the road. Right. Got that big Microsoft announcement tomorrow morning. A programming note for those of you who watch Tech News Today Live, we will be doing the show an hour earlier than usual. So 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 Eastern. And then after the show, Leo Laporte will be hosting our live coverage of the Xbox announcement. Once that's over, Sarah and I will gather back together and record a little discussion segment about the announcement to go into TNT. So if you're a live viewer, you're going to get TNT early, but we won't have the details yet. And if you're an on-demand user, you'll get TNT a little bit later, like we do after other big announcements, like from Apple and stuff. But you won't, you'll get the full details. Anyway, what do you think, guys? What's your best bet? Is it going to be, are they going to talk about hardware? Are they just going to talk about software? Is this going to be the entertainment center everyone's expecting? Are they going to address always on? What kind of details? What's your best guess, Dan Patterson?
Well, you know, I'm a PC gamer and not so much a console gamer. So I'm particularly interested in less as a consumer. I'm more interested in the business here. You know, it's often said that a PC is the best gaming console you can buy right now. And of course, Microsoft and Sony know this. So what they bake into these from a business perspective and how they kind of intend to lean forward into the next console cycle is really, really fascinating to me. I don't really know what to expect, but I do think we could see a little more openness than we've seen from Microsoft in the past.
I think they're probably going to concentrate on the cord cutters because they've got E3 coming in 3 weeks. We know they're going to do an announcement on June 10th. Sarah, are they going to be targeting you?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the thing is you don't have to convince people who love gaming on the Xbox that that's what it's for. You do have some convincing to do to tell people, all right, well, I've got all these options. I like these certain shows. The Xbox is a really, really great device for the kind of thing that I'm looking to do. And the gaming, I can participate in, but I don't have to. So it's like they've already got half of what could be a huge, huge potential audience. And focusing on, right, the internet TV, how nice the interface is.
And the platform.
Exactly, exactly. I think that Microsoft has done a pretty good job of that already, but I think you won't tick off gamers by focusing even more on people who can use it for other reasons.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to ignore gaming, right? I mean, they're going to talk about it, but I think they're going to focus, because E3 is coming up, they're going to focus on this as the entertainment platform, not only games, but TV. There's all this talk that you'll be able to plug in your HDMI cable from your cable box directly into the Xbox, and the Xbox will overlay a new interface on top of your Comcast or your Time Warner box, so that it will improve your ability to integrate not only live TV, but Netflix and Hulu and all the other services that Xbox provides, including Xbox original TV shows, which are coming fast and furious all the time.
I think this is really Microsoft's iOS opportunity. And by that, I mean not just the success of iOS gaming, but how iOS gaming has opened up an entire group of people who are open to things like putting Netflix on or different applications on a device they never really saw in the past. And now these people see themselves maybe not as gamers, but as people who might like to consume this type of content. And it's their opportunity to really, you know, put that Xbox literally in the middle of the living room so that it's far more of an entertainment hub than it is a simple gaming console.
The Xbox is for everyone, right?
Right.
That seems to be what that was the original intention of Xbox. It was just ahead of its time in that intention, but they can actually fulfill it now. Well, I would guess we will not get a price, a release date, but do you guys, before we get off this topic, do you think we'll see it? Because they kind of poked fun at Sony for not showing the actual form factor. Do you think Microsoft will go ahead and take that plunge and say this is what it looks like?
I think they kind of have to if they already went the route of, nice non-announcement, Sony, that kind of thing. Especially with the always-on connection. I don't really think that it's the end of the world, but I know some people are going to be upset about that, and I expect that that is going to be part of this new Xbox. So if they can show people something and kind of keep the focus on the positive, then that's smart.
What do you think, Dan? They're going to show it off? They're going to show off the box?
Well, I think Sarah's right. You have to after the Sony announcement and Microsoft's response to the Sony announcement. I mean, it's far more interesting to know what's the guts of it and what the price point will be. But I think they have to show us what it looks like and what it'll feel like.
Show us your box, Microsoft. Come on. Just a note on Always On. Don't forget, there was that internal email that leaked out. Microsoft hasn't confirmed it, but the internal email allegedly said that the Always On connection won't be required for watching a DVD or playing a single player game, that it will be a reasonable connection. So I'll be interested to see if that ends up being true as well. Let's take a quick break and thank Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website. You got a gallery, you got a store, pretty much any website you need to throw together. If you want it to be fast, you want it to be easy, you want it to look award-winning, and you want it to be reliable, you want Squarespace. Since its platform upgrade last fall, Squarespace just keeps rolling out new product features, new templates, new ways to integrate other content streams, your Twitter stream, your Facebook stream. Squarespace has an award-winning design team. They regularly add smart new features and amazing new design templates. For example, they just added a new calendar feature called the Events Collection. That allows you to share schedule updates, whether it's a kind of an events-based thing, or if you've got a store sales events, or you're a band, or you do photo walks, all that kind of stuff. You can use the event calendar feature. And they just released a beautiful new template called Momentum, which has cinematic full bleed image display, perfect for photographers and designers to showcase their work. And everything's drag and drop. The new page builder tool, Layout Engine, enables you to customize pages in seconds. You just add blocks of content. It's so much easier to put the videos in now. It wasn't ever hard, but now it's like dead simple. It's just amazing. We use it on swordandlaser.com. Absolutely love it. Publish to and from social media with a few clicks. Refresh your site's content over your tablet, on your phone using their app. Squarespace integrates all your website needs into one platform. Domains, design, development, commerce, hosting, and 24/7 customer support. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com. You don't have to take our word for it. Try it out. You don't have to even get them a credit card or nothing. Just start building your website. You can even import one just to see what it looks like in their award-winning design. And then if you do decide to keep it, use offer code TNT5 and get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. That includes monthly and annual plans. And don't forget about free domain registrations for annual plan subscriptions. That's squarespace.com. Use that offer code TNT5, everything you need to create an exceptional website. And we thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. Onward into Pinterest, getting together with the big brands. This is going to mean money for them, I would expect, right, Sarah?
Yeah, but the nice thing about Pinterest is it's set up for making sales. I mean, it's almost perfect for that. I mean, Pinterest is, as we all know, I assume, is a place where you can pin things that are interesting to you. Like, oh, one day I'd love to have that beautiful Alfa Romeo car. Here's a picture of it, that sort of thing. But what it's sort of morphed into is a way for people to say, gosh, I really love that dress, and I'd like to now click through into that beautiful dress that Tom pinned on his Pinterest page.
You saw that.
And find the originating, article on Amazon or something and go ahead and buy. So Pinterest has said, all right, well, let's just make this easier for people. We've got new pins, product pins, recipe pins, movie pins. So those are kind of three very common things that people will pin, whether it's a certain kind of product or maybe a recipe to some sort of a quiche, or I'm watching this movie type of a thing. And as you mentioned in the news views, Tom, these pins are only going to work with brands that are their launch partners. So you've got big brands like Anthropologie, eBay, Home Depot, Neiman Marcus, Flickster, Real Simple on the food side. What's kind of neat about it is, for example, if somebody has pinned a Real Simple update, I can go ahead and click into that pin and get a list of the ingredients that are part of that particular pinned item. So it just gives more context. And again, with products, it's easily clickable to go back to that originating place where you can buy products. And Pinterest has had a little problem with that in the past, because sometimes you'll get something that can be repinned, sort of like reblogging, and it gets to the point where somewhere along the way, that originating link got broken. So it doesn't really go anywhere. So having launch partners when you're actually talking about goods and services makes a lot of sense. Dan, are you a Pinterest user? I mean, it was just sort of a matter of time before Pinterest became less about my scrapbook and more about a place where people can actually buy stuff.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Sarah. I'm not a big Pinterest user, but I think watching this evolution has been, and the mechanics of Pinterest evolution, especially in the post-Tumblr age, has been really, really interesting. And I think, you know, that breaking of the original source link is hugely important. Oftentimes, sites like Pinterest and Tumblr are accused of, you know, maybe you're putting affiliate links in there or somebody else is making money and diverting the revenue streams from the originating content creator. And working with partners like REI and Neiman Marcus and Home Depot really does do that. You know, this is the originating source. It's great for the brand. It allows the community to participate without any, roadblocks, but still allow the brand to remain at the center of the conversation.
It's interesting that Pinterest says, at least at this point, we're not making any money from these partnerships. They don't say they never will, but it's something that's, you know, it seems more like a convenience for the Pinterest user than a huge money generator at this point. Tom, at some point Pinterest is going to want to make a lot of money. I mean, they actually just raised about $200 million, and they're a really popular site, and they continue to grow. Is this just the first step into something bigger?
It reminds me a lot of the Twitter conversation, right? For a long time, people are like, I don't understand how Twitter is ever going to make money. Twitter was very reluctant to come out and say how they were going to make money because they tried things. They tried things very carefully because they didn't want to blow off their audience. And this is a risk for Pinterest to kind of come out and say, all right, we're going to do these brand pins. But I think they're trying to be careful. They're trying to walk that same line of how can we do it in a way that makes sense to the user? To the user, they click on it and they're like, oh, that's good. Yes, I want to be able to buy those shoes. I want to be able to see the recipe that goes behind that food. and not overstep those bounds to go, oh, Pinterest just covered in ads now. If they do it right, you'll barely notice that there are ads. You'll barely notice there are brand pins. And Pinterest users will just say, oh, I love all the new features here.
Yeah, exactly. Adding action items rather than just sort of these wish lists that don't necessarily mean anything, I think is the right way to go.
And it reassures brands that Pinterest is a safe place for you to be.
Yeah, exactly.
I need an adult.
Right.
I noticed this article on The Verge today about a software company called IMRSV, and they make a new piece of software called Kara. What Kara does is facial detection for retail outlets. Now, it's easy to react poorly to this. It's not facial recognition. It's facial detection, and that's an important distinction. It can scan faces up to 25 feet away, determine age, determine gender, they say, with 93% accuracy. But it doesn't tell who you are, and it doesn't store your identity or create a profile for that face. At least they don't say, they say it doesn't. It merely tracks people in aggregate, and it does not store images. It only stores aggregate data. Okay, so if we believe them on all of that, they're installing this in places like in the Reebok store on Fifth Avenue in New York City. They're talking about putting it in advertising kiosks, so when people are looking at it, if they can say, oh, that's a male, they'll show an appropriate demographic ad, monitor audience reactions in live performance, be able to tell if drivers are looking at the road in cars, all kinds of ways to do this. And it's pretty inexpensive. There's other companies who've been doing this for a long time, but it's usually been expensive. This is $40 per camera to install the software. Now, given all of those caveats, is this a slippery slope to facial recognition and real-world tracking, Dan? Or is this just what we're going to live with in a data-filled world?
Well, it's definitely just what we are going to live with in a data-filled world. If you follow the security or hacker communities, you're probably familiar with a company called Strat4. Strat4, or a subsidy of Strat4, has contracted out very similar software for things like the city of New York, Lower Manhattan, and the Ground Zero location. It does very similar stuff. The key is what you just said, Tom, and that's the price of a system like that. Usually very, very expensive. $40 per camera per install is one of the first shots or first signals that this is becoming very affordable for retailers, and it really will help the dissemination of ideas and software like this through the retail world.
When you walk into a shop, Sarah, do you want them to know without you having to say anything or talk to anybody that you're a lady, a youthful lady?
A very beautiful, youthful lady. Yes. Yes, I would like. The thing is the reason that this doesn't bother me that much is this is simply a more efficient way to do something that's already possible. You could have somebody standing at the front of the Reebok store on Fifth Avenue taking little notes of everybody who walks in and out of there. From the transaction history at the cash register, you'd be able to know, of all the women that walked in here today, how many of them actually ended up buying something, and then be able to adjust your efforts because of that. So it doesn't, it really doesn't bother me that there is somewhat, I don't know, data that doesn't make me feel creepy. The gender sort of thing. I mean, most of the time is pretty obvious to be able to tell. And I know that makes sense, particularly for certain retailers, you know, when clothes are involved and that sort of thing. So sure, eventually maybe we'll find out that this company making this cheap facial detection software can actually read a little bit more than maybe what companies like Reebok would use it for. But at this point, I don't know. I'm naive, but I'm not that weirded out.
Well, I think those of us who live on the internet and work on the internet are used to this conversation. It's interesting to see it moving into the real world, into the physical world. But yeah, the idea that something is tracking you and storing aggregate information, and you have to be careful about whether it's storing aggregate information or not, and being honest about that, we run into that all the time on the internet. Probably, we're probably more detectable on the internet by our clicks and our preferences and what we do than we would be by mere facial detection, which granted can tell your age and gender, but that's it. They're not going to be able to tell that much more about you yet. I think where it gets interesting is the stuff Dan was talking about. If this is cheap, how long is it before we get cheap facial recognition? and the ability to actually track people and know, okay, that person is here, that person is there. Granted, that stuff exists already, but it's not cheap. So this in and of itself is probably fine, but it's going to spark more and more conversations because you think people are upset about Google Glass. Imagine retail shops now tracking your face. Once that hits the mainstream news, people are going to get weirded out by that. Of course, Yahoo and Pinterest. Yahoo is buying Pinterest. You heard it here first. Yahoo and Tumblr. They're not buying Pinterest. Yahoo and Tumblr getting all the headlines. But we have another interesting merger of food delivery options.
That's right. The food ordering services Grubhub and Seamless have confirmed they are merging. It's really kind of a true merger. The Grubhub co-founder and CEO Matt Maloney will be the CEO of the new combined company. Seamless CEO Jonathan Zabruski is going to be the new company's president. And the interesting thing about this, and I wanted to bring Dan into this too, because he lives in New York, and I know that's the first time I ever heard about Seamless, even though that's actually something that I have access to in San Francisco as well. Both of these companies have kind of been around a while. Seamless has been around since 1999. Wow. And Chicago-based Grubhub started in 2004. So seems like, okay, well, they certainly know what they're doing. They've definitely been thought of as competitors for quite a while. But there are so many more. You've got Delivery.com. You've got Chow Now. You've got Campus Special. You've got certain Food Hero and Just Eat. Some of those are larger in European cities than the U.S. But this is like a hot market almost twice, you know, for all of those who remember the web van days. It's back. Dan, do you find that really, especially in a dense place like Manhattan, is Grubhub and Seamless merging together to become collectively a much more powerful company the only way to go with such a market, such a crowded market?
Yeah, it may not be the only place to grow. And like you, I was very shocked to learn 1999. It has been interesting. First of all, we live on Seamless and Grubhub and Delivery.com. And it's been neat to see the growth of Seamless. And in fact, you know, 5 years ago, I would say only anecdotally, most people used Delivery.com. And it's been interesting to see both Grubhub and Seamless hammer away at the subway ads and the kind of a peripheral advertising around the city and become something that is so dominant now. And I'm hungry.
I also think, some of these, we've got people in the chat room saying, I've never heard of any of these companies. It obviously matters where you live. It matters what kind of weather you have to deal with. And there are a lot of reasons why people say, even though that burrito place is not that far, it's way more convenient to pay that little convenience fee in order to get food delivered to me. So definitely depends where you are geographically. But Tom, Seamless is based out of New York. Grubhub is based out of the Midwest, started in Chicago. So in a way, they've got some overlap, but they're able to cover a lot more of, if you're just looking at the U.S., a lot more than they would have alone.
Yeah, my hope here is that they figure out how to combine to make a better service, because none of these services are perfect. I've used Grubhub, and they've got the right idea. I love their notification system. They'll send you text messages, let you know where the driver is, but the restaurant has to participate. My favorite example is Grubhub sent me a thing. It's like, okay, the driver just got the order. Should be 30 to 40 minutes. We'll let you know when he's near. And I was like, all right, so 30 to 40 minutes. I stopped paying attention. 10 minutes later, knock at the door. It's the guy. They never pressed the button. They never updated the order. They didn't do anything on their end. Sure. They just showed up. And granted, they showed up faster, so I wasn't complaining. But you got to get the restaurants on board with this stuff. And there's other things, the kind of restaurants they have and what they're able to deliver. Sometimes the menus don't match up, all of that sort of thing. So I do think that having mergers means that they can learn from each other and improve their service. And I hope they do.
Yeah.
More food. Let's move on to the randomizer. Order a burrito for the randomizer. Oh, crap. I don't have time. The first live video call from a smartphone at the peak of Mount Everest has been made by a British explorer, Daniel Hughes. He's trying to raise money for the Comic Relief charity, and he made the call, by the way, with an HTC One. It is actually not the first mobile call. I think we covered the first mobile call on Buzz Out Loud years ago. But it is the first video call. And Hughes said, as you can see, he was speaking to the BBC, this is the world's first live video call, never been done before from the rooftop of the world. So far, he's raised just to over 40,000 pounds. Pretty
wow.
cool.
Wow. Video. Ooh, my goodness, he's got an entourage.
24 hours, I'll be honest. We went up from Camp Phillips, the high camp, yesterday morning, and then I've literally walked for 12 hours uphill. But you're right, it's a very special day indeed, for two reasons. One, because of the nose. This is the highest ever nose.
Save your breath, guy.
I know, right?
A lot of oxygen up there. So, Dan, would you be willing to do the show from the top of Mount Everest, possibly, or know someone?
Yeah. Anyone who wants to pay that expense, I'm all in.
Absolutely. No, it's pretty crazy to think when, like, just getting to the top of Mount Everest itself was considered an outlandish achievement. And now you have not only groups going often, but now you can just chat, make video calls. Whole thing's real.
Yeah,
whole
if you don't
done.
Die on the way up. Jeez, yeah, still exactly. really dangerous.
You can make a video call.
Ooh, goodness.
Let's see what's on the calendar.
It would be something to celebrate, right? I didn't die. Sure. Look at me.
I celebrate that day.
Microsoft's Xbox event is tomorrow. As we mentioned, we were going to do TNT 1 hour earlier. For those of you who watch us live, please do join us. HP also has its earnings report tomorrow, the 21st. The CM Summit is starting tomorrow in New York City, runs through Wednesday, the 22nd. A Sprint bid to acquire the network operator Clearwire is going up for a shareholder vote tomorrow as well. Tomorrow is kind of a big day in the tech world. Sony, the online store, the Sony Entertainment Network online store, is going to launch in Japan on May 29th, looking ahead another week or so. And Engadget says, it's the official partner of the Best of CES Awards 2014. So,
yeah. There so next year, the Best of CES goes to Engadget. You know what my theory is here? The Best of CES Awards follow Nicole Lee.
And if she'd stayed, you're right.
We'd have the best because she was at Tech TV when they had them, and then she went off to CNET, and then CNET got them, and now she's at Engadget.
Your theory is sound, Tom.
Let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
Got an email from James in Columbus, Ohio, who says, on Friday's show, you mentioned that Elle Magazine was partnering with Google Glass as an app, and you wondered why, and said, ma'am, maybe it's just a content partner, you need pop-up headlines, that thing, sort of thing. He says, maybe. What if Google programmers partnered up with Elle fashion experts to make an app? When you looked at someone else's clothes, it would tell you the label, the designer, stores where you might be able to purchase the same outfit and price. He says, not really anything I would care about, but I think there are probably people who would be interested in an app like that. Probably not what they're working on, but an interesting idea.
That's a great idea. Is that possible?
Well, if we have cameras that can recognize what my gender is and how old I am, we probably aren't too far away from the technology to scan clothing and at least get a brand, at least drill it down to a brand.
Do you think they can tell Kenneth Cole jeans from Levi's?
Well, that might be something that Kenneth Cole adds into a label, right? Something that
or maybe all clothes going forward have QR codes embedded in them really largely.
Right.
So it's
big
easy.
QR codes slapped on all the high fashion clothing. Possible. All right. Well, that is it for this show. Dan Patterson, thank you so much, sir, for joining us. Tell folks about what you're doing over there at Summall, because I think it's really interesting what's going on.
Well, thank you guys for having me. So at Summall.org, we're leveraging some of the considerable engineering resources that we have at Summall.com. And I mean, no plugs, they're their own company. We're a sister company. But at .org, we're leveraging those engineering resources to do some really interesting data analysis. So for example, we worked with the Clinton Foundation and studied the spread of prescription drug abuse. We worked with a couple anonymous partners to study how child pornography is growing and spreading on the social web, leading to some really interesting data. We've made some information graphics and stuff we're still trying to kind of negotiate the these are sensitive topics, so we're trying to figure out the best way to distribute these. But we are using data for, I know, like, the cynics will disagree, but for social good.
It can be done, and I'm glad you guys are trying. Thank you, Dan. Thank you all for you. Voting in our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. It is the place where you can make your voice heard about what stories we're going to cover on the show today. That's where I got the video call from Mount Everest. Pulled that out of the subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. You can also find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. Email us, tnt@twit.tv, and give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. Don't forget, 9 a.m. live show tomorrow, a little later on demand, so we can cover the Xbox announcement, and Kevin Purdy will be our guest. We'll see you then.
Whoa, Jason.
Yeah, oh yeah. Wow. See, even faster. Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Check this out.
Wow.
Huh? Oh, that wasn't very fast. I'm sorry, I eliminated Tom. He's off the show permanently now.
Out. You're out of there, Merritt.